Good evening. Welcome to our evening service on 19 April 2020. It's a blessing to have you as we continue our journey through the book of Job, and what a blessed book it has been. And we saw in the previous four chapters where the Lord appeared and spoke and exalted himself and his creation and asked Job's friends, where wast thou when I made the earth and made everything else? And after this encounter with the Lord, we see Job's response here in chapter 42 tonight, the final chapter of Job, which will take 2 weeks to walk through. And so we're going to look at the first six verses together. We're going to learn a lot tonight about how to respond when we have an encounter with the Lord. So notice verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, that now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. So our title is going to come from verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to look into your word together. I pray you would use it now to teach us, to grow us, to speak to us. Lord, that we would truly learn to respond as Job responded when we have an encounter with you. So may you be pleased with this time. May you guide us in your truth. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see tonight from Job's response that how we respond when we have an encounter with the Lord is typically different than what what we think we should do or how we feel. And Job has taught us a great lesson through this passage. So he's had an encounter with the Lord, a face-to-face encounter. And when we have an encounter with the Lord through his word or through the Holy Spirit, how do we respond? And we can learn. So Job responded initially, number one, by exalting the Lord. And that's always a great thing. And you find when you look at a lot of the prayers in the Old Testament that sure enough, when they had an encounter with God, they started with exalting God, worshiping God. And that's exactly what Job said here in verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. In other words, I know, Lord, that you are all powerful. And of course, the Bible says that. Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he goes on to say, and you know everything. No thought can be withholden from thee. And the Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And so Job starts off by saying, Lord, you are great. And if you look at, again, the Old Testament prayers, you'll see that it always started with exalting God. And that is what we should be doing anyway, is bringing glory to God, worshiping the Lord, exalting him for who he is, and acknowledging that he is great. And he is great. And praise God that we can praise him. And the Bible says in Psalm 33:1, praise is comely for the upright. So praise the Lord. Start off with worshiping and lifting up God for who he is, that he's an amazing, powerful, holy God. And move on from there. What we find in Job's response is he lifted up the Lord and pushed himself down. And that's what we always need to do. And so the first thing that needs to happen when we have an encounter with the Lord is we need to exalt him, lift him up, praise him. But the second thing is then we need to remove all of our pride. And pride is a serious issue with all of us, isn't it? We need to remove it. And that's exactly what Job did here in verse 3. He said, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Lord, I spoke of things I don't know. He's essentially apologizing for speaking as if he had the answers, because we don't have the answers. And that's what we need to do. When we come to the Lord, say, Lord, I don't have the answers. Lord, I don't know the way. Right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. And how often do we try to lean to our own understanding rather than to acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so Job was saying, Lord, I don't know the answers. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 26:12. And then some New Testament scriptures on this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And we'll see that this is the way we need to approach God. After we exalt him, we need to not exalt self, but come to God and say, Lord, I don't have the answers. I need them from you. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Admitting we don't have the answers. And then over in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, we'll see another one. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. We don't have the answers. And Job is saying, Lord, I was wrong. I didn't understand. I spoke of things I didn't know. And I apologize. And of course, most of us are familiar with James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask of God. Ask of the Lord. Lord, I don't have the answers. Lord, I don't know the way. And as long as that's our attitude, then God will show us the way. He shall direct thy paths. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, it says in Proverbs 16:3. So, number one, exalt the Lord. Number two, admit we don't know. Remove all pride. And number three, verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself. Have an accurate view of our standing, of who we are. And honestly, we all need to admit outside of Jesus Christ, we're just wicked sinners on our way to hell. And we need to maintain that. Inside Jesus Christ, we are sinners on our way to heaven, but we're still sinners. And if it weren't for Jesus, we'd have nothing. To have this accurate view of self. Go to Isaiah 64 and verse 6 and we'll see this. But God wants us to understand that he is the one that's worthy of all praise and glory. And we are worthy of none. And God tells us in Isaiah that he would not share his glory with another. Isaiah 64, 6. We are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. What do we have to offer to the Lord? God doesn't need our works. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything from us. He asks us to serve him, but we do not have anything to offer to him that's of any worth. And that needs to be our attitude. And Job said, I abhor myself. David had a similar understanding. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, very familiar verse to a lot of you. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary, church planner, a man that spoke multiple languages, says, I am the chief of sinners. Now that's a right attitude to have. And so we find from Job that after this encounter with the Lord, he starts off by exalting and worshiping the Lord. Then he admits he doesn't have the answers. And then he says, I abhor myself. And what we find is this is how we need to respond. Like John said, he must increase, I must decrease. John the Baptist said that when Jesus started his ministry. That must always be our attitude. Exalt the Lord, push self down. Don't allow self to rear up with any pride or self-glory, because it's wrong. And so he said, Lord, you're worthy, you're powerful, you know all things, and I don't know anything. I was wrong. I admit that I don't have the answers, and I literally abhor myself. And then he finishes by saying there in verse 6, and I repent in dust and ashes. An encounter with the Lord should always result in some repentance, because there's always areas in our lives that need work. And repentance is always the beginning of the path to restoration with the Lord. We know this, that if we truly want revival in our lives, it always starts with repentance. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and so forth. So God wants us to have this right attitude about ourselves, that admit that we don't have the answers, but he also wants us to repent. You know, the Bible says, you that love the Lord hate evil. If you go to Psalm 51, we'll see that that David had this right attitude, and after his sin with Bathsheba, David never tried to defend himself. He just repented. Notice verse 3 of Psalm 51. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." He went on to say in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Lord, I need to repent. I need to be restored. And that must be the final step in an encounter with the Lord. Exalt Him. Don't exalt self. Admit we don't have the answers. Admit that we're wicked sinners outside of Christ. And admit that we still have areas in our lives where we need work. And amazing that a man going through the suffering that Job went through, all that he lost, his children, his living, his health, and then to have his friends accuse him of being the cause of his suffering and being a wicked sinner and deserving the suffering, essentially. He didn't say, "Lord, why did you do this?" He didn't say, "Lord, I'm angry with you," when he had an encounter with the Lord. Matter of fact, all the way through, he said, "Lord, I trust you." But instead, he said, "Lord, I exalt you. You're powerful, and I push down self. I spoke of things that I don't know. And so I'm sorry. I don't have all the answers. And Lord, I truly abhor myself. When I look at myself in light of you and your holiness and power, what am I? And what are we outside of Christ? Just wicked sinners." But it always should end with repentance. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, if you would. And we'll see here again that this is where God wants us to always end up. Isaiah 55, verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We serve a God that is merciful. We serve a God that's always willing to pardon. But it always starts with us forsaking our way and forsaking our thoughts, admitting we're wrong and repenting. And the Bible tells us if we'll do that, we will always find mercy. Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." So when we have an encounter with the Lord like Job had here, lift him up, push self down. Admit, "I don't have the answers. Lord, I'm a wicked sinner. Thank you for saving me from hell. And Lord, I repent. In sackcloth and ashes, I am sorry. I repent. Cleanse me. Change me. Make me more like Jesus." That should be our response when we have an encounter with the Lord through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, to lift Him up and push self down. So what a great lesson from Job here in chapter 42. And I hope that we'll take it to heart. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for speaking to us from your word. And Lord, I pray that we'll learn from Job's example that no matter how much we may suffer, when we have an encounter with you, we must always learn to exalt you and to not exalt self, to push aside all pride and all self-knowledge, and Lord, to admit what we are outside of Christ, and Lord, to repent and allow you to change us. Thank you for your word. May we live this great truth in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. Thanks for joining us.